This is an audio summary for your IP 8999 course. The reading is Redesign Systems, Chapter 6 of Recreate the Organization You Really Want by John R. Latham, published in 2016. This is the longest chapter in the book and the methodological core of Latham's approach. It maps the systems that make up an organization and lays out a complete framework for redesigning any of them. Here is the summary. Latham opens with Joseph Juran's claim that all improvement takes place project by project, and in no other way. The chapter's motivating problem is that strategy deployment usually fails. One reason is that developing plans at a leadership retreat is simply more fun than the hard work of implementing them. Latham quotes a transformation leader who made the time allocation explicit: 20% of the time on strategy and 80% on deployment, executed at world-class speed. A second reason deployment fails is that the people involved come from organizational silos, each with its own perspective, agenda, and motives. The answer to both problems is a structured approach to designing and changing systems. Latham then defines what he means by organization systems. They are not just computer systems. They are the flow of activity, resources, information, and energy throughout the organization. He reaches back 2,500 years to the Chinese philosopher Mo Tze, who observed that no business attains success without a system, and that with a system, even the unskilled can achieve what the skilled accomplish through dexterity alone. The chapter's first major framework groups the organization's many systems into three levels. Value creation systems span the entire value chain, from understanding customer requirements through product design, supplier management, operations, delivery, and customer relationships. Enabler systems support the continuous improvement of everything else. They include people support processes and the measurement and review processes that generate new insight. Guidance systems provide direction and resources. They include leadership, strategy development and deployment, governance, ethics and regulation, and sustainability. Within those levels, Latham describes seven typical system groups. First, customer systems. Listening to current and potential customers, measuring satisfaction and dissatisfaction, segmenting markets, and designing offerings and support mechanisms for the desired customer experience. Second, production systems. The value creation and support processes that translate customer needs into process requirements, then design, manage, assess, and continuously improve operations. Third, supplier and partner systems. Selecting and coordinating external suppliers, partners, and contractors, placing work according to core competencies, and controlling costs by preventing defects and rework. Fourth, workforce systems, attracting and acquiring talent, developing it, empowering and engaging it, and supporting health, safety, and well-being, with design issues including needs assessment, segmentation, career progression, succession planning, and incentives. Fifth, knowledge and information systems. Selecting measures, collecting credible data, making comparisons against industry leaders and competitors, analyzing results, translating findings into action, and managing knowledge with accuracy, integrity, security, and perhaps most important, easy access. Sixth, the leadership and strategy system, which Latham calls a system of systems because it connects and guides all the others. Its strategic management activities run from environmental scanning through strategy creation, feasibility assessment, action planning, follow-through, and sustaining improvements. Seventh, governance systems. Accountability, transparency, independent audits, leader evaluation, ethical behavior, and anticipating the organization's impact on society. Latham notes these seven groups echo the major excellence models, such as the Malcolm Baldrige Award in the United States and the European Foundation for Quality Management. And he advises starting any redesign journey with the top-level systems, usually the leadership system, and letting those guide the subsystems. Next, he describes the seven basic components of any individual system: customers and their requirements, clearly defined outputs or deliverables, explicitly defined processes, identified inputs, identified suppliers, measurements for each of those components, and finally guidance and resources, meaning the people, capital, and technology allocated to make the system work, plus goals and targets compared periodically against actual performance. The heart of the chapter is the design framework, which organizes a redesign project into three phases: discovery, design, and then develop, deploy, and iterate. The first two phases are inductive and creative. The third is more deductive and iterative. The expanded discovery phase is what distinguishes a design approach from other improvement methods, and it has 8 steps. Step 1 is purpose and requirements. Define why the system is needed, identify management requirements, and capture stakeholder needs, producing a formal design brief. Latham illustrates with the leadership system, whose purposes are to align and integrate the enterprise, to make leadership decisions explicit so they can be communicated and improved, and to develop leaders at all levels. He quotes a chief executive who, asked to draw his leadership system, found he could not. Without an explicit system, you cannot examine, improve, or teach your approach. Step 2 is the nature of the system. There are 4 basic natures: physical processes like manufacturing, knowledge processes like loan processing, creative processes like strategy development, and bespoke processes requiring customization. Most systems combine several. Physical systems need standardization and control. In fact, Latham argues that humans make poor machines, so if a system can be automated, it probably should be. Knowledge systems should deliver accurate information to decision makers with the least effort and cost. Creative systems need just enough structure and no more. Overengineering them produces predictably poor performance, and leaders who want innovation must learn to live with some ambiguity. The bespoke dimension asks how much flexibility execution requires across different users and situations. Step 3 is theories and concepts. Quoting Kurt Lewin, that there is nothing as practical as a good theory, Latham warns against reinventing broken wheels, citing Pfeffer and Sutton's work on evidence-based management. Since teams rarely have time for full literature reviews, he recommends including subject matter experts, ideally people with depth in one discipline and breadth across several. Step 4 is inspiring examples. Studying world-class designs can help a team leapfrog the competition, but examples are a double-edged sword. Teams sometimes stop designing once they see an example that seems to fit, which short-circuits the creative process. Use high-level examples early to bring concepts alive, and detailed examples later for component options, remembering that the best inspiration often comes from outside your industry. Step 5 is unique context. The external environment, strategy, value chain, workforce profile, and culture that make a custom design necessary in the first place. Step 6 is design principles, 8 cross-cutting characteristics of good systems. Balance means creating value for multiple stakeholders. Congruence means components are consistent with each other and with strategy, culture, and context. Convenience means the system is user-friendly, with controls only where necessary. Coordination goes beyond congruence. Components operate as a fully interconnected unit. Elegance means only as much complexity as the benefits justify. Latham suggests managers should stop managing in the traditional sense and become designers of systems. The human principle asks whether participants can find joy, purpose, and meaning in the work. Learning means reflection loops are built in at key points. Sustainability means meeting current stakeholder needs without compromising future generations. Step 7 is system integration. Quoting the architect Aleel Saarinen's advice to always design a thing in its next larger context, Latham directs teams to map inputs, outputs, and interconnections with other systems. The most commonly missed linkage is compensation and incentives, which powerfully shape behavior and are often at odds with the new design. Step 8 is diagnosis of the current system. Make the existing system explicit with a diagram and a component table, staying at helicopter level rather than in the weeds, then assess it against the findings of the first 7 steps. Traditional assessments focus only on technical effectiveness and ignore how users experience the system. Inconvenient processes waste time and tell employees their time does not matter. The design phase then produces 3 versions. First, an ideal conceptual design, imagining unlimited resources and the desired culture, because teams that skip this step stay prisoners of past experience. Second, a doable conceptual design, created by identifying constraints and using creativity to overcome them, compromising only as a last resort. Third, the detailed design, mixing and matching components from examples, and adapting them to the situation. The final phase develops the design, often with a prototype tested on a small group, deploys it with a plan, training, and resources, and iterates through periodic reviews and learning loops. LATHM closes with the leader as organization architect. Leaders are the lead designers because only they hold the formal power to change systems, and they reward innovation, celebrating courage and creativity rather than punishing failure. For your organizational assessment, this chapter supplies both the map of systems to examine and the diagnostic questions, especially the 7 assessment questions in the diagnosis step, for evaluating how well a real organization's systems are designed and integrated. That is the end of the summary.